Welcome to My Father's House Podcast, Episode 335, Rejoice in Suffering. Pastor Sarah Velasquez delivered this message on Sunday, September 10th, 2023 in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Well, I have a question to start off this message. The question is, what causes you pure joy or the greatest joy? And you can shout out a few answers. What causes you the greatest or pure joy?
Singing to the Lord.
Singing to the Lord. Okay.
Jesus.
Okay.
Grandkids.
All right. Meditating on the cross. Grandkids. Singing to the Lord.
Seeing somebody come to the Lord.
That is a great joy, isn't it? These are all very spiritual answers. I was going to say like chocolate cake or something. I don't know. No, it's all right. There's all kinds of joys, but were you going to say something?
My family being saved.
That is a great joy. That is a pure joy.
Teaching children about Jesus.
Yes, teaching children about Jesus and the joy on them, you know, when they're receiving that. Praise the Lord.
Gummy bears.
Gummy bears. All right, she's with me. All right. Watching her children encounter the Lord. That is a great joy. Praise the Lord. Okay, final answer?
Trials.
Uh-oh. He got in my notes. Uh-oh. Or he's been reading the word, I think, that one. Trials. Count it all joy. All right. Are we ready? Buckle up, guys, because the word says something different than most of the majority, minus Pastor Don's answers, right? Because the word says, this is what the word says, James 1, let's go there. Count it all joy. Consider it joy. What are we considering? Joy? Trials. All right. I get to suffer. Woo! That is my greatest joy. I'm giving you a moment to turn to James 1 to make sure your Bible says what mine says so that you're not like, Pastor Sarah's preaching crazy today, that you verify that I'm just saying what the word says, right? So this is what it says, James 1, 2 through 4. I'm reading from the New Living Translation, and it's up there for you. It says, "Dear brothers and sisters..." Like in so much love, dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. I'm going to read that again. Let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. Wow, 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 wow. That pure joy coming from trials, that's a different kind of pure joy than eating gummy bears or chocolate or even watching your children come to the Lord or have an encounter with the Lord. This is a different kind of joy that we're talking about. I want to read it to you in the Passion Translation. It says it like this. James 1, 2 through 4. My fellow believers, when it seems as though you are facing nothing but difficulties, see it as an invaluable opportunity to experience the greatest joy that you can. Wow. For you know that when your faith is tested, it stirs up in you the power of endurance. Oh boy, I want stirred up in me the power of endurance. Okay, so if it's trials and troubles I got to go through, all right then, buckle up. Help me, Holy Spirit. Verse 4, and then as your endurance grows even stronger, it will release perfection into every part of your being until there is nothing missing and nothing lacking. That sounds like the definition of shalom, peace. Nothing missing, nothing lacking. Wow. I got to go through suffering and trials and tribulations in order to get that. Oh, I just want it nice. I just want somebody to pray for me. And then I just get these goosebumps and then I get all fixed and solved. And wow, but God's saying something else to us here. He's saying, consider it all joy. Count it all purest joy, the greatest joy, when you have this invaluable opportunity to experience, well, I said that backwards. You experience the greatest joy you can when you're walking through difficulties, when you're going through trials. So let's talk about this. We're going to unpack this a little bit. How do we consider it an opportunity for joy when we go through, we face trials? Because guess what? Verse 2 says, when you face trials of any kind, right? Or when troubles of any kind come your way. It's not if. Sorry, that's what the word, sorry, not sorry. This is what the word says, when. And just like Sister Elizabeth said, tough times are coming. The shaking is coming. It's when you face trials, not if. The Bible says we will. So we might as well do it the Bible way and be blessed and walk in joy and power so that others can see they're different. Because let me tell you, I'm getting ahead of my notes, but joy sets you apart. When there's shaking going on and everybody at GM is freaking out because, you know, strike and where is my money going to come from and how am I going to pay my bills and how am I going to feed my kids? And you're walking around with, I got the joy of the Lord. I'm trusting in the Lord. They're going to look at you like, well, she's either really whacked out and weird or like, give me some of that. What's your secret? How are you smiling? How are you walking in joy and peace during this? So it's going to cause attention. You're going to be, when you walk in joy, that powerful force of joy, it's going to draw attention to you. You're going to have an opportunity to influence others with the joy that you carry, the joy that you walk in. So, do you consider the trials that you're going through great joy? That's a rhetorical one. You don't have to answer that. But this, I pray that this word helps you today. Help us, Holy Spirit, with your word today. Let it minister to our heart deeply. Bring us revelation of this truth, because it's different than our fleshly nature. It's different than our logic, Father. But we need you, Holy Spirit. Help us. Minister this to each of us in a deep way today. Thank you, Lord. Amen. All right. So it is a command here to consider our trials great joy. Are we doing it? Let's get in line with the word. Considering it great joy when you're going through something very difficult brings you closer to the Lord. It does. It draws you closer to the Lord because you're aligning first and foremost to what his word says. You're aligning to his command. You're aligning to what it says. And there's an opportunity we read in these verses, in these versions. There is an opportunity in your trial to experience the greatest joy. The greatest joy. So if we see it differently, we need our minds renewed on this. If we see our trials, our difficulty, our suffering as an opportunity, like I can grow and I can grow closer to the Lord in this, then bless God. Right? Endurance, perseverance is produced when your faith is tested. That's what we just read. Your faith is refined. Wow, the other parts of the service previously have set me all up here. It's the Holy Spirit. Elizabeth talked about gold being refined, that we would be refined as gold. Our faith that we hold on to, that we stand strong in when we're going through difficult things, it's refined. Our faith is refined so that we can run the race. It's like a muscle that we have to work it out so that you can have endurance. Like think about a runner running a race, right? You can, maybe you start and you can only run and barely get through a mile, right? And then you train and you go and, you know, Fort for Fitness is coming up. Who's doing Fort for Fitness race? One person. Praise the Lord. Pray for Ellie. All right, Elizabeth. But, you know, as you train, this is a metaphor, right? As you're training your physical body for that race, as you train in the Word of God and seeing your trials as joy, and allowing your faith to be refined and tested, you will be able to run longer each time. That's endurance. You will be able to stand better. Your legs will be able to carry you to the end, to the finish line, better and stronger, and your time will get shorter, right? It won't be such an arduous struggle each time because your faith is growing. It's withstanding, and joy is going to help you get there. So when we persevere and we stay in faith, we become complete and mature, not lacking anything. When your faith, no matter how long you've had to endure and persevere to receive the promise, the thing that he's promised you in his word, and you receive then the manifestation of it, you're becoming mature, complete, not lacking anything. Hallelujah. And even that is happening, that process is happening, even when you don't see the manifestation yet. Yeah. Praise the Lord. So that's how we can have great joy, knowing that, you know what? He's working in something in me. He's doing a miracle in me. He's making me more into the image of Jesus. Praise the Lord. And he's with me in my trials. So if we want to be mature, if we want to be refined, guess what? Being refined, growing in maturity in the Lord doesn't just happen. I hate to say this, but this is what the word is saying. I'm interpreting it for us here. It doesn't just happen on the mountaintops. It just doesn't happen, our maturity and growth in the Lord when everything is smooth sailing and I just get everything that I want right now, right the way I want it, biggie size it, bring it to me through the drive-thru, microwave. Thank you, Lord. Pray for me. You know, we've got to walk through some stuff because he uses that. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
I'm trying to be sweet about this message here, but, you know, it's tough. I understand. It's like a big pill to swallow, but we can do it. The Holy Spirit is helping us. This is what the word is saying. He uses these testings. He uses these trials to polish us, to refine us, to make us cry out to him, like we said last week, blind Bartimaeus, to say, Jesus, Son of God, like, I can't do this. This thing is bringing me to my knees. And I tell you, I've been walking through some stuff or have walked through some stuff where that's all I can do. You know, it's not through my own strength, or maybe I try on my own strength till I get to the point where I'm on my knees and that's all I can do. And guess what? That's how we grow, folks. That's how we grow, church. It's not fun. Nobody's going to, you know, put a sign-up sheet. Sign up for your trials, your greatest suffering back there. Who's going to sign up for that? But who wants to grow in the Lord? Who wants to be polished by the word of God? Who wants to be refined by the Spirit of God? Who wants to look more like him so that you can serve him in a more full, deep way that brings honor and glory to his name? That we say yes. Okay, so sign me up. So buckle up for the roller coaster a little bit. But guess what? He's with us and he's for us. Praise the Lord. I love this message. I mean, this just gets me excited. I'm preaching to myself. I'm encouraging myself. So perseverance leads to maturity then. When we persevere, we're running that long marathon. You're going to be stronger on the other side. When you cross that finish line, you're going to be stronger than when you started it, right?
Yes.
Amen. We're going to be mature, complete, lacking nothing. What if you approach the trials with an excitement for what is available to you through those trials? This is a mind shift. This is getting our minds renewed. Let's approach our trials with an excitement. That's what the word says. Consider it all joy, right? Of what the Lord is going to do in me and through me with this, and how I'm going to come out looking more like gold on the other side. Not so I can boast, but so I can give glory to him, so that I have a testimony to encourage somebody else. hey, I was this way and I went through some stuff and I came out different and I'm not the same. I'm not the same anymore. I'm telling you, I'm not the same that I was 2 years ago, you know, before I was ordained as a pastor. I'm not the same. I'm not the same as, you know, the girl that I once knew that went to Argentina as a missionary and stayed there for 7 years in another culture, speaking another language, serving 24/7 as a international cross-cultural missionary. I wasn't the same when I came back 7 years later. I wasn't the same. Praise the Lord. Okay. We are blessed when we persevere through trials. James 1:2 is my scriptural backup for that statement. God blesses, this is James 1, verse 12, sorry, New Living Translation. God blesses those who patiently endure testing and temptation. How are we doing with our patient endurance? Because God blesses those who patiently endure testing and temptation. Afterward, they will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. I want the crown of life that's promised to me. I'm going to patiently endure because Jesus is with me and he's for me and he's working something awesome on the inside of me, even if I can't see it or feel it yet. We will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Do you know this verse in Galatians 6, verse 9? It says, let us, I'm not talking about lettuce like a salad, let us not become weary in doing good. For at the proper time, or another version says in due time, we will reap a harvest if we do not, what? Give up. Don't give up. Don't give up. At the proper time, you will reap a harvest if you persevere, if you not just hang in there, if you cling on to Jesus with all that you are, walk by his word, dressed in the armor, right? Don't become weary in doing good. Doing good means serving him, walking in righteousness, doing the hard, taking the narrow road, choosing God's ways over the world's ways. It's serving when you don't feel like it. All those things. Don't become weary in doing good. It's not giving up on what the word says or what God has whispered or spoken to your heart, even when you don't see it or you don't feel it. Amen. Amen. So we can grow through trials if we take the opportunity. And in the middle of the trials, guess what? Joy is our strength. So let's talk about joy a little bit. Joy is strength to us. Nehemiah 8, verse 10. It says, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. If you take out of that scripture of the Lord, it reads, for the joy is your strength. Joy is strength to us. Of course, it comes from the Lord. Joy is not just a warm, happy feeling or emotion or a state of mind that comes and goes when my circumstances are good, but rather joy is one of its most powerful spiritual forces in the world. It's powerful, guys. Joy is actually a fruit of the Spirit, right? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. Did I get them all? From Galatians 5, right? So joy is a fruit of the Spirit. That means if you are born again and receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, that means you have it. Turn to your neighbor and say, I have it.
I have it.
I have joy.
I have joy.
You have joy. That's right. Right, there's lots of songs, kids' songs about that. Maybe we'll end with that, but I'm going to stay on track right now. But yes, joy is a fruit of the Spirit. So that means you have it. It's in there. But guess what? You've got to walk in it. You've got to choose it. You've got to develop it like a muscle. You have to live by it. It is joy. You've got to live by joy if you want to experience its power. If it's just laying dormant as a little tiny seed inside of you and you never choose it and you choose despair and discouragement and all these other things, then you're not going to experience its power. What the Holy Spirit is able to do through you by pumping you up with his joy, right? You've got to activate it. You've got to turn on the switch. Like all the electrical lighting, the electrical wiring in electricity is there, but you've got to turn it on. You've got to say, today I'm walking in the joy of the Lord. No matter what it looks like, it may be ugly, it may be look dark, I'm choosing joy today. I'm walking in the joy of the Lord, right? Get a scripture. Ask the Lord for a scripture that helps you to stand on and to fight against anything that puts itself in its way, right? So joy is your strength. Joy and strength are interchangeable. Joy is crucial for victory. You can't live a life of faith without being strong in the Lord, right? Would you agree? Yes. We've got to be strong in the Lord to walk in faith, to activate and maintain faith and live by faith in our lives. So joy is what the Lord uses to make, one of the things that he uses to make us strong, right? It's crucial for our victory. Joy is what gives you strength to hold steady when the circumstances get tough, when things get rough, when the waves start going in the boat and your boat's going everywhere, right? It's joy what gives you the strength. Joy gives you a kind of staying power that will make you a winner. The word says you are more than a conqueror. You are an overcomer through Christ Jesus. It's joy. That's one thing. There's others that we could talk about. But joy is going to give you that staying power like an anchor. Just like the word says, hope is an anchor for the soul. I believe joy is also an anchor. It's going to hold you steady. It's going to make you come out on top, right? Amen. Joy gives you the ability to laugh in the devil's face when he starts trying to knock you off. Knock you off of your faith. I'm going to say that again. Joy gives you the ability to laugh in the devil's face when he tries to knock you off of faith, when he tries to discredit the word of God and what you're standing on. Joy can rise up inside of you and you say, shut up, devil, you are a liar. And you can laugh in the face of that. Wow, that's a force, because I don't, like, just in me, my flesh doesn't react that way sometimes. We've got to program ourselves. We got to choose to walk in this joy. The devil doesn't have anything that can stand against joy. You think about that. If somebody's going through the hardest thing, and but you see them put on a face, it's like genuine. That, wow, like I see joy in them. Fear has to yield to faith, and discouragement has to yield to joy. That means joy wins. Faith wins, right? But we activate it. We choose it, and we stay there. We stay there. Joy is going to cause victory in your life. Let's look at Philippians 4, verse 4. It says, always be full of joy in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice. Wait, always? Siempre in Spanish? Always be full of joy in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice. All right, I got a question for you. How do I do that? Or maybe you're thinking this. Pastor Sarah, that's all great. Yeah, Philippians 4:4. Always be full of joy. How do I do that when I'm going through, I don't know, a divorce? When I get a diagnosis of a disease, a life-threatening disease, let's say. When I'm in family turmoil, when I've lost my job, how do I always be full of joy in the Lord? Well, the in the Lord is a little key there. It's not in you. It's not just, oh yeah, I feel happy right now because I just, you know, going through this really hard thing. It's in the Lord. It's through him. Jesus is our example. Wow. Don't we need to keep our eyes on him? Jesus shows us again and again in his word how we can always be full of joy in the Lord. Let's take a look in the book, Hebrews 12, 1 through 3. I love this scripture passage. Are you there? Hebrews 12? Did I lose some folks? We're all still in our seatbelts, buckled up. We're good? Everybody's okay. No turbulence. We're good? All right. Here we go. Hebrews 12, 1 through 3, it says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down," like Bartimaeus's cloak from last week, right? "Strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up, and let us run with endurance the race God has set before us." Verse 2, I wanted to give the context and start from verse 1, but here's where we get into it. Verse 2, we do this. How do we do this? We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. Now he is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. Think of all the hostility he endured from sinful people. Then you won't become weary and give up. Wow, wow, wow. This is full. Help us, Holy Spirit, to receive all the richness of this passage. So it's telling us here, Jesus faced death on the cross, right? But he didn't allow the emotional response to lead him. You know, we talk about in the Garden of Gethsemane, he was shedding blood, right? He was like crying tears of blood, and he, you know, was not arguing, but having this discussion with the Father, if there's any other way to do this, right? But his final decision was, I'm thinking of it in Spanish, "Pass for me this cup." Like, how does it say in English? Take this away from me. Take this cup from me, right? He didn't allow his fleshly response, his carnal response, his up one moment, down the next moment. I mean, that wasn't Jesus anyway, right? But he was a man. He lived in the flesh. So he didn't allow any emotional or rational, logical response to lead him. He focused on the joy that was set before him. Verse 2, the second part of verse 2, because of the joy awaiting him, he stayed focused on that. Let's model or imitate Jesus's model and keep our eyes on Jesus. That's the key right there. Verse 2, because it's talking about before verse 2, let us run with endurance the race. Life is a race. Life is a journey down the road, like we talked about last week. And how do we run with endurance? How do we persevere and stay in it? By keeping our eyes on Jesus and doing what he did, focusing on the joy that's set before us, before it was set before him. It took effort, right? But he looked beyond the cross and he saw joy there. Because he saw you and you and you, and he saw each one of us that he knew he was going to shed his blood for. And he was doing it to please the Father, to fulfill and obey the Father's command of the calling on his life, right? Praise the Lord. He looked beyond the cross and he saw joy there. I'm going to read an excerpt. Forgot to bring it up. Here it is. I'm going to read an excerpt. This is an awesome book, Discover the Keys. Discover the Keys to Staying Full of God by Andrew Womack. It's back there in the bookstore. And I'm going to read this little section, page 50, just two paragraphs here. It says, and it's referring to this Hebrews 12 that we're talking about. It says, he, talking about Jesus, saw the fact that this would please his Father, appease his wrath, and he would resurrect from the dead and one day be seated at the Father's right hand. He also saw you and me. The Lord's heart beat with such love for the world that it enabled him to look past the heartache. This is such an important key to victory, Andrew Womack says. If you ever do anything that amounts to anything, if you ever touch someone's life, if you ever succeed in any endeavor, there will be problems between you and that success. The person who succeeds is the one who can look past those problems, hurts, pains, and actually glorify, magnify, and esteem the solution. They can see beyond the cost and value the answer above it. That's what separates losers and victors. Amen. Wow. Wow, wow. I feel the presence of God when I read that and when I read this word in Hebrews. Wow. We've got to disregard the shame, disregard the pain, disregard. That means just not pay attention to it, not give it the time of day, so to speak, right? We have to, with our thoughts, we've got to choose what we're thinking about and what we're magnifying. Because with your thoughts, you either magnify or you can shrink. We have incredible, we've been given the mind of Christ. And with our mind, we can do incredible things. We can make something grow. We can magnify it by focusing on it. Or we can make it shrink by taking our attention away from it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we can take the value out of the difficult circumstances by not magnifying them. Are you hearing me, church? Okay. All right. I hope this is helping somebody. In other words, we can disregard, or some versions say disesteem. Like, don't give it value. Don't give glory to the devil. Oh, poor me. Oh, this and that. And I'm telling myself here, are you hearing me, Sarah? You know, we all need this. We all can grow. We can all come up higher in this. Let's take the value, the weight, our attention off of the difficult circumstances by not magnifying them. It's not what happens to you that's important, but it's how you perceive it and how you process it, how you think about it. When you magnify negative things, they become bigger. They become insurmountable, like this mountain that, how am I ever going to climb this mountain? Oh my God. And before you know it, you're just in a heap at the bottom of the mountain and you can't even stand up, right? You're down in the ditch with blind Bartimaeus, right? And so we can take huge, insurmountable, scary, painful, whatever things, and we can disregard them. We can shrink them. How? By seeing the joy set before us, by seeing that Jesus lives inside of us, by seeing that we are more than a conqueror, by activating the fruit of the Spirit, joy that lives on the inside of us, and saying, I'm choosing joy. No matter this thing, no matter what I feel in my body, I'm choosing joy. I'm choosing the Word of God. Hallelujah. If Jesus could take the cross and the shame associated with it and all of that persecution and physical pain and all the stuff that he went through and disregard it, then you and I, we can despise anything. We can disesteem. We can just strip it of its value by how we think about it. Do you agree? I mean, this is what the Word is telling us, right? Okay. So we can reduce anything that comes against us, we can reduce it to nothing. So we have to disregard the hard, heavy, not honorable things from darkness. And then what else? This is key and huge, because you can't just disregard it. You have to keep the Lord magnified. You've got to keep him the highest, the biggest, the best thing. He's the greatest. He's the one I'm looking at. It's his word. It's his truth that I stand on. And you just let the other stuff fall away. I'm standing in the joy of the Lord. I'm walking in the joy. I'm choosing his word. I'm not choosing my flesh. I'm choosing to believe what God says is true. And that's going to make me a powerful victor. And people are going to notice that, because that's a little different, guys. That's a little weird. We're a peculiar and strange generation, aren't we? When we walk in that kind of joy, when people know that you're going through difficult stuff, you're going to have some heads turned. So be ready to give an answer for the hope that lies within you. Be ready. Get ready. Keep the Lord magnified. He is your reward. Keep your eyes on Jesus. What is he doing? Sometimes we just like to glorify and magnify the problem and the mountain. And, oh, I'm going through this thing. And I'm talking to myself here, not anybody else, because you guys got it all together. But, you know, sometimes I struggle with this. And it's like, wait a second. Stop. Time out. Cut. What is the Lord doing? Because even when evil is happening and you're feeling this pain in your body, or you see distress and turmoil in your family, or this thing is, you know, the Titanic has just hit the iceberg, you know, whatever it is, the Lord is still there. The Lord is still doing something. What is he doing in the middle of that? Disregard the ship and the iceberg and the Titanic. What is the Lord doing? What is he saying to you? Keep your eyes focused so that you can keep your ears open to hear his voice. The voice of a stranger you don't follow. Leave that behind and go forward. Keep your eyes on him. What is he doing? Because he's always with you, right? I will be with you to the ends of the earth. So what is he doing? What is he speaking? Magnify that. Keep your eyes on that. Tell people about that. Talk about what God's doing and what he's speaking to you, not about the mountain, not about the problem, right? The word says, speak to the mountain, tell it to go, tell it to move, but don't spend a lot of time on that. Just keep the Lord magnified is what I'm trying to say, right? Keep the Lord magnified. Keep him the biggest one in your view and in your heart and his word in front of you. And you will experience victory, praise the Lord, and that endurance to hold the door of faith open until you receive the promise and until you receive the manifestation of it, right? So Psalm 34, it says, verse 1, I like the New King James Version. It says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. This will help you. This will help you to rejoice all the time, to walk in joy. Bless the Lord at all times. This has to do with keeping your eyes on him, magnifying him. It is possible at all times, even in suffering, even in trials. Andrew Womack says this also in this book, if you put the proper value and worth on God and on spiritual things, nothing in this life can compare to it. Nothing can compare to that. We say, oh, my God is big. Oh, my God is great. But then we see a mountain or we see a problem and we make that the biggest thing. So if you put the proper value and worth on God and spiritual things, nothing in this life can compare. You can disesteem and devalue anything in this life so that nothing can bother you or steal your joy. Oh, help us, Jesus. I want to walk in that. I want to walk in that kind of powerful force of joy in my life. So in God's presence is fullness of joy. And let me tell you, I mean, we could do a whole year long, you know, or few months series on joy. There's tons of scriptures and I just picked out a few. But that one, in God's presence is fullness of joy, is from Psalm 16. Another really good psalm that I love and that talks about joy. Your trial is not what dictates the joy that is upon your life. Joy is just as much available to you on your best day as it is on your worst day. Ooh, when I that hit my heart, I was like, oh my gosh. Because sometimes, you know, this was the old Sarah that I once knew, you know, lived on a roller coaster up and down and a little bit all over. And I would get whiplash, you know, emotional whiplash from that. You know what I'm talking about? Right. But this is joy is available to you on your best day when you're feeling on the mountaintop and everything is going well, just as much then as the worst day, or just as much the worst day as the best day. Praise the Lord. The scripture commands us to live in joy even in the midst of the hardest season. So rejoice. Let's obey the word. Let's rejoice when you go through trials, because you have the opportunity to fellowship with the Father, with the Son, the person of Jesus, and the Holy Spirit in new and deep ways. It'll take you deeper. It really will. It'll take you deeper in Him. I want to share a quick testimony. The Lord brought me revelation of some years ago when I was going through a difficult time. It was the end of a relationship, and I felt like a failure. I felt like I just messed up again. I messed up in relationships. I can't do this thing. I felt like everybody was looking at me, and it was just really difficult. And this trial that I went through this whole time period, it really revealed to me my insecurity and my great need for God. It brought me to my knees, because my value system was wrong, and I was looking for love and attention and affirmation from other people and from a relationship instead of from God the Father, right? This is just a testimony of my life. This is the honest truth. But this experience, it was a shaking, because God wanted to use that shaking to show me, you don't need other people to affirm you. I affirm you. I'm your loving Father. You know, you are worth the blood of Jesus, right? But I had to go through this shaking to kind of get to that. And I was set free from this whole thing of like what success is and what, because I felt like such a failure. And my leader, one of my mentors, disciple makers, said to me, she said this nugget of truth, and she said something about the Lord's version of success is much different than yours, Sarah. And because after this whole thing, after this whole trial, I was still like holding on to the fact that I messed up in this relationship and that I was a failure. And she said that to me. And she said, just look at how you grew. Look at how it brought you to the feet of Jesus. And it was like such a paradigm shift for me, because I thought I translated my mistake and my error as a big, another failure. And you know what? When she said that to me, it was like, but the Lord, how is the Lord looking at it? The Lord said he was proud, because he was excited. He was glad because he used that to bring me to him. And I got to fellowship with him in a much deeper way. And I got to be stripped of the wrong value system, that looking for love, that's fear of man, right? Rejection, looking for love from other people. And so God says, yes, I get more of her heart. And she's depending more on me. And she grew with me. And that was just like mind shift when that leader said that. And it was like, oh my gosh, it wasn't a failure. Yeah, I made some mistakes. But look how I grew through it. Look how he refined me and polished me through it. And that, in the eyes of the Lord, is a success. The Lord goes, yes, she got some restoration. She got some healing. She got some freedom. And I get more of her heart. I get to be closer. And she's depending more on me instead of looking to other people, to be filled up by other people. Praise the Lord. So let's look. You know, let's look at how, just ask the Holy Spirit to help you see that, you know, we're not so much of a failure as we think. That just really, he uses everything. That's really what I'm trying to say. He uses everything. He turns ashes into beauty. He makes all things beautiful. So don't beat yourself up. Learn from it. Grow. Let it bring you to Jesus. Let him refine you. And you'll grow. You'll walk in that maturity that we talked about from the first scripture. Praise the Lord. All right. I have no idea. I didn't set my timer. How are we doing? I'm just like ready to preach and keep preaching here. Are you guys okay? All right. We got a little bit more here. All right. 1 Peter 4. There's so much in Scripture about this, about walking in joy, about the power of choosing rejoicing in the middle of suffering. And we need it, don't we? We need this. Okay. So 1 Peter 4, 12 and 13, it says, "Dear friends, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has come on you to test you." Don't be surprised. Like, get ready, prepare. You know that something's coming. "As something strange were happening to you." Don't be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has come on you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. "But rejoice, inasmuch as you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed." We participate in the sufferings of Christ so that we may be overjoyed. It's similar to the last, what we talked about in Hebrews, about, you know, Jesus disregarded the shame of the cross, and he was able to, for the joy that was set before him, that was dying for our salvation, he was able to endure the cross, right? So this is saying, "Inasmuch as you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed." So trials can be wasted. Don't go through a trial and let it be a waste. Get everything that you can. Cling, that means cling to Jesus. Say, "You know what? Lord, I bless you in this trial. I thank you. I praise you. Refine me, make me look more like you. Bring your word into my life so that I can activate the fruits of the Spirit, so that I can walk in your word." Don't let it be a waste. Pursue the Lord during your trial. Let it bring you to him. Talk to him. Get quiet before him. Be still and know that I am God. And say, "Lord, this is tough." And pour out your heart. He wants you to be vulnerable with him. He wants you to be real with him. Pour out your heart. He says, "Come to me." So pour your heart out to him and just sit in his presence. And if you need him to manifest peace to you, say, "You're the Prince of Peace. Come right now. I want to experience your peace, and bring your peace to me through your word. If you need his strength, come. You are the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Come with your strength. Come with your joy. Whatever you're needing, ask him for it and sit in his presence. And don't get up until you receive something. Be with him. Let your trial make you run to the shelter of his arms. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe. Let's run to him in our trial. Get safety there. Get safety. Get refuge there. He is everything we need and more. And he will carry you through. Let the Father refine you so that you look more like him. Your trials will come to an end. And there's a verse I didn't capture this one on my paper, but there's a verse that says your trials will just last a short time, right? So your trial will come to an end, but get everything you can out of it, meaning cling to Jesus and let it grow you. Don't waste the trial. Trials come to prove your faith. You can write this down, all of you that are taking notes. 1 Peter 1, 6 and 7, it talks about how trials come to prove your faith. You can look that up later. When you partner with God through, or partner with the Holy Spirit through your trials, then your trials really have a purpose. He's going to use it. There is power in the trial, and that's how we grow. I saw a little clip this past week of Pastor Bill Johnson. He's the senior pastor of Redding Church in California. And he was talking about, he said, have you seen the Chopped? I didn't know. There's a show, like a cooking competition show. I've never seen it, but it's called Chopped. And he said, I don't know, there was, maybe it was one particular episode or something, that they gave all of these cooks that were competing a competition, and they gave them the most random ingredients, sardines, and I don't know what it was, just random different things. And they had to make like a meal. They had to make something awesome that you and I would love to taste out of whatever random ingredients they were. And I was like, where is he going with this? And then he shared the verse in Romans 8 where it says, that he uses all things to work together for the good of those who love him. Okay, we got it. I never want to misspeak or misinterpret the word of God. So in other words, the trials, even like the failures, like my testimony that I shared with you, those are like sardines or these random weird ingredients. And as you look at your life, it's like all these different fractions or separations or hard, difficult things. And there might be some great ingredients in there too, some moments mixed in of some chocolate syrup or whatever you consider a great ingredient. Can you tell I like chocolate? But he was saying he uses everything. He uses everything like those master chefs use all these ingredients that seem that don't fit. He uses all of it in your life, and he works it to the good for you, for those who love him. And he makes a beautiful masterpiece out of it through your life. Wow. I just really enjoyed that. That it hit my heart of like, you know, sometimes we're so hard on ourselves and we think I'm a failure and this and that experience, and he weaves it together. If you're keeping your face, your eyes on Jesus, if you're walking by his word and his ways, he's going to work it out for your good. And that, knowing that he's with us and he's for us, can be that give us that victorious staying power that we can walk in joy in the middle of hard things. Because we know at the end of it, in the end of our life, it's a masterpiece that brings him glory. Because we come out on the other side stronger. We come out saying to other people who need a word of encouragement, saying, look what God did. Look what God did through that hard thing. I grew up. I got refined. I had some sandpaper rub up against me, but we all need a little sandpaper, right? Little sister sandpaper. And we came out looking more, shining for the glory of God. Praise the Lord. You can be strong in the Lord. You can draw on the supply, and I'm going to land the plane here. You can draw on the supply of the Holy Spirit within you and come out on top when you choose joy. You can disregard everything else and rejoice, just like Jesus did when he disregarded the shame of the cross, and because of the joy set before him, he endured it. And we can endure, and we can come out on top. He is with you. He is for you. Magnify the Lord. Put the most value and the most effort and your most attention, most of your attention on what he's doing, on his word, on his truth. That reminds me of another verse. We could just preach all day, you know, and think on what is noble, what is pure, what is lovely. What is of good report, what is true, was the first one. That's Philippians. Yes, we're studying the book of Philippians. There's a lot of good nuggets in there. Praise the Lord. So, church, let's be full of joy in the Lord. Rejoice that he is with us and he is for us. You will be blessed through your trial when you persevere. So press in to the heart of Jesus like never before. And I'm going to close with this. The Lord spoke this to me the other day, Friday. Acts 2. He told me just to rest the other day. And I was like, okay. And then he said, Acts 2. And so I'm reading all of it, like waiting for the whammy, right? And I get to verse 24. But God raised him from the dead, talking about Jesus, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. And when I think about death, I don't think just about physical death. I think about like the force of death, like anything that's from the kingdom of darkness. death, destruction, you know, sickness in your body. It's not that you're dead, you're still living, but, you know, you've got some death happening if you've got a sickness, right? Anything that's from the kingdom of darkness, lack, despair, fear, anything, that's when I look at this fear, the agony of death, it says God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. And of course, physical death. David said about him, I saw the Lord always before me. Or another version says, and this refers back to Psalm 16, I keep my eyes always on the Lord. Because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body will also rest in hope because you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead. You will not let your Holy One see decay. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence. I was like, that's it. That's the cherry on the cake. That's the cherry on the cake for me in my life and for this message, what we're talking about. For the joy set before him. You have made known to me the path of life. If you keep your eyes on him, magnifying him, you will walk in the path of life. And you will be filled with joy in his presence. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. It is all about his presence. Let's just respond to the Lord in our hearts to this message, to this word today. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Can we just pray in the Spirit together for a moment? Oh Jesus, we need you. Oh, Jesus, we love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. We magnify you. And we want to respond to you in our heart with what the Holy Spirit was speaking to us, speaking to our hearts, ministering to us. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you for your word that takes us higher, that causes us to walk in a higher way and to think a higher way. Thank you, Lord, that we have your word as a model, as a roadmap to follow. Thank you, Lord, that we don't have to just be left to the roller coaster ride of life and up and down of emotions and logic and the way we process, but we can choose your way, the higher way. We can choose the fruits of the Spirit. We can choose to walk with joy, even in the middle of suffering. To choose to rejoice because you are with us, because you are for us, because we have an opportunity to be refined and polished, to look more like you, to come out on the other side as victors. Help us, Holy Spirit. Help us, Lord. Help us to bring it, to get revelation, deep revelation of this word. Help us, Father, prepare our hearts so that we can walk in this kind of power, this kind of joy in the next trial or even in the current trial. Thank you, Lord, that we magnify you. Help us, Lord, to use the mind that we've been given to disesteem and disregard things of darkness, to disregard the difficult circumstances and the less than ideal, less than circumstances or situations that don't measure up to the promise of your word, the abundant life that you died on the cross for us. And let us just magnify you, magnify your word, to run to the safety of your word, to magnify and value and esteem and glorify you and what you're doing Help us to talk about that. Help us to speak that to others. Help us to think and meditate on that, on those good things, on who you are and how great you are. And in the process, the other darkness just fades to the background. It's disesteemed. It's stripped of its weight and value. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you for making us victorious through you. Thank you for using us when we are, even we're not feeling it, but we, some part of us, something inside us, by the power of your Holy Spirit says, you know what, I'm going to choose joy. And we don't feel like it, but somebody else does notice it. Give us opportunities to speak and give an answer for the hope that we have, an answer for the joy with which we're walking in. Thank you, Lord, for ministry opportunities, for divine encounters. Because that kind of joy will catch an eye. It will cause others to notice. Thank you, Father, that you don't waste any of it. You don't waste any of it.
Thanks for listening to this episode of My Father's House podcast. We hope you'll subscribe to hear our latest updates. My Father's House is a non-denominational Christian church located at 5712 Bass Road in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We invite you to visit us by checking schedule information at mfhfw.org. At our website, you can also support the work of My Father's House with your tax-deductible donation. We pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers.